Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Exit 68 podcasts. In the 3 years we've been doing this, not even close to Ben, as happy as I am right now to introduce our two wonderful guests, Justin Mango, Matt McTague. Not excited about them, but I'm excited because UConn is dancing, baby. They beat Iona in that Ginzo fuck Rick Pitino first game. Then they went, they beat St. Mary's. They're in the Sweet 16 now, drawing 8-seed Arkansas, who just knocked off Kansas in a crazy game. Lot to recap here. I think, you know, the first thought is just a monkey off the back, really, after getting that first tournament win. And I think the team kind of responded to that. They played a little more loose. I hope they carry that into the next game here. So happy to chop this game up with you boys. I think the first thought here I really have, you know, especially with him taking his shirt off last game, of just how different these two coaches are in my mind in the way they view basketball and really team building and how they want to build their teams. Hurley is, you know, the ultimate culture guy. Granted, he had to hit the portal this year. I think he does kind of hate going to the portal deep down. And then you go against Musselman, who, you know, if it was up to him, would have a new team every year just to start over, kind of an NBA model. So fucking pumped to watch these teams play. So pumped to talk to you boys. How are we doing? How are we feeling today?
What's going on, guys? Super pumped to be here. I think, Matt, you said it right. We got the monkey off the back, and I think the fan base, the coaching staff, I don't even know necessarily the players, maybe Sonogo because he's in his third year, but, you know, Hurley was on First Take today talking about how everyone kind of took a deep breath after Friday. I don't know about you guys, but Friday, I was a nervous wreck all morning. Awful. Sunday, I'm not going to say I felt confident, but I felt really good all day. Like, the nerves were nowhere near where they were for that first game Friday, and it felt like that Jordan Hawkins and 1-3 to start the second half against Iona was like, it was just like the opening of the Hoover Dam. Like, everything, all the emotion, those guys were just able to go out and play. And I feel like they played so much more loose in game two, even though they had a tough, you know, first half, but it just feels like they're able to kind of play loosely now. And that monkey's gone.
And first of all, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me back. I don't necessarily, the monkey is off the back because we beat Iona to a certain degree. I kind of think that we need to win tomorrow night against Arkansas to really be like, we're back. A Sweet 16 is fine. And I don't mean to act like one of those spoiled UConn fans who, you know, has these unrealistic expectations. But I think in the context of this season, we want to win tomorrow night. After that, I think an Elite Eight appearance is the perfect launch pad for this program to kind of get back to where it was in the early 2000s or into the Calhoun era. But I think, and I'm kind of switching back and forth between historical context and the season, but I think this team is so good enough this year, right, that I do think we need to really take a win home tomorrow and get to the Elite Eight to call it the truly 100% successful season that we thought. And that doesn't mean, you know, we don't want to go for a championship, but I do think that tomorrow is imperative in terms of how we look back on this season. I just, to me, beating Iona and then beating St. Mary's, which I actually thought was a flawed team, especially when their best player got injured in the first half, I just can't say that those are, you know, the quality wins that we're looking for out of this program. We want to beat an Arkansas team that's really hot. We want to beat a top seed.
It's hard though. So I think someone said it best. I can't remember who it was. Beginning of year expectations, we've had a successful season. 14 game in expectations, fair. We have not met those yet. I think you're right. I think a win brings us to that. One thing to think though is that, look, like, beating anyone in the tournament is a victory. It's hard when you have four national championship banners hanging up to say, wow, we made it past the first round. But that team, like, I don't know about you guys, but that, I thought that was the team that we were going to become, like, not necessarily become, yes, but that's who we've been the last 2 years, is first round exits after great years. They've built it up. They have star players, and then they exit in the first round because they can't handle the pressure. It's hard to win in March. Purdue was the best, if not, a top three team all year long. They lost to the smallest team in the tournament, right? Arizona, national championship contender all year long, top 10 team, loses to Princeton. The list goes on and on. The pressure, the second there's any bit of doubt in your team's ability, or the second you look across the aisle and say, shit, these guys can really play with us, even though they're, a 16 seed or a 15 seed or a 14 seed, whatever it is, you're dead in the water. And a little bit of kudos to our, I think, going through that adversity patch we did in January, February helped us the way that we came out in the first two halves. Like, we came out in the first two halves, and I can guarantee you both Iona and St. Mary's walked in the locker room at halftime and said, shit, these guys aren't as good as we thought they were, right? And we responded, we came out, we went through those surges, and we steamrolled ahead. And both situations, we looked like the team we were in the beginning of the half of the year. Can we come out and have a performance like that in the first half against Arkansas or any team who's left in the tournament? No. But they bounced back. They showed they had the ability to bounce back. I'm with you, Matt. Like, we got to go and win tomorrow. I actually think the first game of the weekend's, knock on wood, harder. Maybe not opponent wise, but because teams have more time to scout you and look at your sets and look what you're doing and look what you're running. But every team that's left has an ability, right? Like, people could say, oh, I wish we'd play FAU or Princeton. Like, both those teams are two of the 16 teams left for a reason also. Like, it's fucking hard to win in March. So,
Yeah, I no, I think in simplest terms, I think you're absolutely right. It is hard to win, and I should probably give him a little bit more credit.
the flip side though is I appreciate where you're at, because the last time we were on the pod, we said we need to be comfortable being good again. And 2008 UConn would not settle for a Sweet 16. So I'm
Exactly.
happy for you.
And guess
I
what?
agree.
Both of you guys can be right here. Dan Hurley and that coaching staff, they deserve their flowers, that whole program for all the shit they've gone through on Twitter, yelling at him for to be fired. Winning those two games is a big FU to that whole crew, and they really do deserve that. But yes, Matt, we are UConn. We have higher expectations here. And guess what? We got an opportunity to go to the Elite Eight, and I think everyone and their mother that we know wants them to. And looking at this Arkansas team, I think that's squarely in the focus now. I think for all UConn fans, I really think we got a great opportunity here. They're a very good team. I think there's some t things that we can exploit a little bit with them, just like they can with us. Kind of breaking down Arkansas here. Super athletic, super switchable. Their guards are huge. Their centers and big men are about 6'9", 6'10", hyper athletic. They play defense like crazed animals. They don't really knock down too many threes, which is going to help us, but they turn the ball over well. They got athletes everywhere. If you let them get in transition, they will fucking kill you. And they got a couple guys, Devo Davis, Council can hit shots at times that can just get under your skin, drive into you, and hit hard twos all game if you let them. I think this thing really starts in the paint with Adama. Kind of interested to see how they guard him, how well he's able to play against one of the top 2-point defenses in the country. I really think we have an advantage offensive rebounding, especially at the five position when we have Klingon in, because they don't really have anyone that can match up against them. I think this is a game where we also shoot a lot of threes because they are so athletic and so hard to drive on. Looking at this Arkansas team, obviously, I kind of laid it out for you. What do you see? How do you think we attack them? How do you think they attack us?
Yeah, I think I think they're gonna take away Sanogo. Listen, I don't know if our advantage is on the offensive rebounding side of things, just because I think, Kling's not gonna play enough minutes likely in order to kind of make that, that impact throughout the entire game. Really, where I think it comes down to is how well Hawkins plays, and it'll be interested to see how, they guard him, because I think Musbas is one of the most creative defensive coaches in the game, and I think he's going to have a game plan for Sanogo. Now, that doesn't mean Sanogo's not going to be effective, but does he have 24 and 10 like he has the past two games? I'm not just quite sure. So who's going to step up if that happens? And I think Hawkins has to be the one. Now, he showed us last game, you know, he can have a quiet first half like he did the first two games and then kind of go off. If he can open up the lane for a guy like Caravan, for a guy like Newton, I think that's huge. The question is also, you know, how much does Caravan play? For instance, there's a couple kids we have on our team right now. I'm not sure how they're going to pan out against this yep. athletic Arkansas team, and I think Caravan's one of them, and he's yep. the one eating up the lion's share of minutes.
And I agree. Muss is gonna find those mismatches, and he's gonna hunt them all game. And I think Caravan is squarely gonna start the game with a couple runs at him.
But Matt, to double click on one thing you say, where you don't think Donnie gets a lot of play in this game, I disagree with you. I think the bigs, while they may have mismatches out on the perimeter, if this turns into a 3-point shooting matchup, I think that's advantage UConn.
Yes,
I agree.
Arkansas averages 5 threes a game, 352nd in the nation. You need, like, the second you put guys like Donnie and Adama around the rim to protect it, you want these guys settling for long twos and mid-range jump shots all day. So I think keeping them out of foul trouble is a bigger concern, because these guys are just going to attack the rim at will, dude. They have two guys who are probably top 15 picks, ton of athleticism, like Matt said, but they're going to exploit the mismatches. It's funny because I think Caravan is a liability defensively against a team like this. He's come a long, long way, and he's proved he's able to keep himself on the floor with where he's at defensively. He's also due. Like, he's due for a big game. So,
but are you due for a big game when you're a freshman?
I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
He
might be due for a postseason, you know, game if he doesn't show up this tournament. I just don't know if you can put that pressure on him. And I understand he plays above his years, but I don't. But you're absolutely right. I think you're right. You want to pack the paint, because you want guys like Jordan Walsh to, you know, you watch this Arkansas team, and Maddie, I know you've watched a ton of tape on them. They're hesitant to shoot a lot of the time, right? Like, they take weird threes. They take it in their own rhythm. It's not natural. I'm wondering if Hurley goes zone a little bit.
Yes, I was thinking that a lot with zone.
I'm worried about us, and I think this is where you're going to go, Matt. I'm worried about us getting after it too much and attacking guys like way outside the perimeter and letting them go by us.
I think I'm worried about the foul trouble, because we haven't experienced that yet. And we haven't really experienced it that much this year, to be honest, and there.
There are not many teams who match up with us athletically.
Exactly. And how much, you know, how much can we get away with defensively? Like, I think we do get away with a lot of calls just because we look like we're overbearing at points. I guess this Arkansas team or not. So I'm interested to see how the game's called, to be honest. Just one thing I wanted to clarify was, you know, my note on Klingon isn't that I don't think he's not going to get minutes, because he's not a good matchup. He's been super effective in the minutes he's gotten. He hasn't played that much. And part of that is Adama's been cooking, but I just don't know if he has the stamina as a freshman to be in this type of game. That's what I meant. Like, I just can't put him on the floor for 25-30 minutes. He just doesn't have that in him at this point in his career. So that's kind of it, right?
It's funny. Hurley's, I feel like Hurley's really, everyone all year has been banging the play Klingon more. All the advanced metrics say you should play Klingon more. And maybe Hurley's got him right on the cusp of where he knows there's diminishing returns if he plays him more.
100%. That's exactly how I think Hurley thinks.
And if anyone knows, it's him. You know, we're all sitting on our couches here. We don't know what the fuck's going on. And just to add to my offensive rebounding comment, that really comes from just kind of looking at some stats. Arkansas is 138th in the country in giving up offensive rebounds, I believe. We're the second best offensive rebounding team in the country. Granted, they played an SEC schedule with absolute bangers every single game, but just to add some context to my thoughts there.
No, that's where I thought you were kind of originating those comments from, Matt. And I wonder if that's also because they try to go on the break so much, right? They have little help.
And I think you're exactly right, though. If you're Arkansas, you try to swallow up Sonogo inside, and then the second you get that ball, you got so many dogs on the run, you give it to one of them, and you have them just fly at Adama right in his chest, try to get him in foul trouble, go at Hawkins. I think he's shown a little susceptibility to fouling early. Especially like you said, if they're pressing out too much, guess what? You don't need to press out on these guys at the 3-point line. Stay in control, stay in your stance. Don't give them those fouls because those are easy buckets. Make them make those tough twos all game. Because guess what? We're going to bang a couple threes on the other end and they're not going to be able to catch up. I firmly believe that if we're able to hit our threes this game and we're able to stay out of foul trouble, those are probably the top two things. And I'd say number three is something that's kind of scaring me is this team's great at turning the ball over. They are 26th in the country in steal percentage. Newton's got to have a big game of just controlling the ball. Doesn't necessarily have to score that many points, maybe hit a couple threes to try to stretch out that defense, but they're going to go at him. They're going to try to get steals. And like we talked about with athletes everywhere, if we give them easy points off transition, they start running, they get us in foul trouble. I think that's their formula to beat us. And
And
it could happen.
one thing, let's go around the horn here, actually. What do you think the key matchup is in this game? Because I think it's Anthony Black versus Tristan Newton. I think if Newton can slow down, Tristan Newton's defensive metrics are so through the roof. And Anthony Black, to me, is the guy who makes that team go. If he can disrupt Anthony Black, I think we have a really good shot to win this game.
I just want to add one piece of context to that. He was not practicing earlier this week with a boot. Anthony Black's got a little bit of an ankle going, so we'll see how that develops. I believe he played in the last game, only a
He's
couple
also
minutes, so
their
we'll see.
highest draft pick, right? He's their highest NBA
Yes.
draft potential guy. Like he's top 10, top 15 on most draft boards. I don't know. I'd agree with that. I still think, I don't know. I think Newton's really important. I think our biggest matchup is our bench depth.
Yeah, and we got guys off the
I think
bench that
that
can
you're
make
going to get
shots.
guys in foul trouble. You know who's been, and sorry, Matt, to take us off course here. Aline has hit multiple big shots in the first
Yes.
half of the first and second game. He's defended. He's played
Yes.
hard. He's
He's
made
been
good
awesome.
decisions. The
Absolutely.
couple
He
threes that he
deserves a
hit
shout
were
out.
like, they were like run savers. I think our biggest matchup is our bench and our depth versus their bench and their depth,
And
which is a cop
they're
out
only going to
response, but
play.
that's
They're
what I'm
only
going to
going to
go with.
play about 7 or 8 guys too. We usually go 8 or 9 deep, so it is an advantage there, especially if there's a lot of fouls. We kind of rest our laurels that we got some dogs coming off the bench. I think one comment I just want to make
Who?
is this
Yeah.
kid Walsh
Andrew.
for them. I absolutely love his game so much. The kid with alopecia, he just plays the right way. Excited to see what he does out there. Hopefully he doesn't have too much of a great game, but he's got to watch, man.
He
He's
has a
all the little
minimum
things.
boys too. He's 18 years old and he could
Yeah.
throw all three of us through a roof.
He also plays small ball five for them sometimes at like 6'7", like 200.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
who?
Musselman likes plugging those random lineups. Like he likes playing three guards. He likes running people out there to cause chaos. Like he comes from a Warriors background, right? He was an assistant at the Warriors for a while.
Yeah. So
I think the biggest matchup, Matt, is how do we slow down Devo Davis? Because he absolutely went crazy last game. He's
yeah.
got it in him. He's the emotional leader of that team, it really feels like. And whoever's on him, man, good luck because he's absolutely lightning quick. He's coming downhill and he's a foul trouble waiting to happen for his ever covering him.
Exactly. And to your point, Matt, he did that without the three ball, right? It was just downhill the entire game.
I got another good matchup pick for you. There are not many people who match up with Andre Jackson's athleticism, but, and you could argue he's the most important matchup every single game. Is he still able to do the Andre Jackson things he does against a team like this?
I was about to say, is he the one who's going to guard Ricky Council? Who's guarding Ricky
He's the,
Council?
I agree that Hawkins is important not to get into foul trouble, as is Sanogo, but every time Jackson gets into foul trouble, it feels like we just die. Like
Especially in a
he was in
game
foul
like
trouble in that
this.
Marquette game. Like he played 10 minutes in that Marquette game, and we had to play a really good game all around to stay in it. Like,
And this is a hyper athletic team where we need as many hyper athletes out there, kind of fighting them. And he's the best we got. So you definitely lose that lightning quick kind of explosiveness when he's off the floor. You feel it on both ends.
and so to the foul trouble point, I think we're hyper focused on this issue for rightfully so. I actually think Sanogo's fine as long as everybody else plays defense, right? If he doesn't have to help
Two fouls in two games.
in 2 games, I think if everybody else plays defense, he doesn't have to help. Because who's the Arkansas center Mitchell or whatever.
Malachi Mitchell, and then his brother.
And then his brother's on the team, but he doesn't get as many minutes, right?
Yeah.
So Mitchell's a, you know, he's a force, but he's not a guy who's like gonna just get to the line constantly. So I'm really hoping that if we can if Sanogo doesn't get, you know, the offensive fouls out of frustration by banging with these guys or has to help too much, I'm hoping we can keep him in the game for as long as we need him to be.
I'm fucking nervous.
I started feeling it today.
It's a good team. It's a good fucking
Me too,
team,
dude. I'm not kidding. I woke up Sunday and I felt like pretty fine. Like, not fine. I was still nervous and whatnot, but I felt calm all day. And I'm like, I haven't thought about it much until I was going down the elevator this morning in my building and a random kid was in the elevator. And he goes, "Oh, UConn, UConn." He goes, "I don't know. I'm pretty nervous about this matchup tomorrow." And the second he said that, I went into like a crap moment. Like, I don't know. We just kind of forgot where we were for a few days. And
but guess what, Justin? It should feel
this
good.
This is what it's all
man.
About.
There's only 16
this is
teams
what it's
left.
all about,
It's a
dude.
Blessing to feel nervous right now. Because otherwise, you know, we'd be talking about the transfer portal.
We
who's
wouldn't
going to hire
here.
Luke
We wouldn't
Murray?
Be here.
Who's going to hire Kamani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
While we're
stuff
on
can
that
fucking
topic,
wait, man.
Two crazy things. This, I mean, a lot of crazy things.
Almost
this week.
The third one today, losing our boy McDermott. Thank God. I love
I
him.
I know. Ed Cooley to Georgetown. Great for the Big East. Also, just saw this get posted on Twitter. Apparently, UConn has switched hotel rooms since arriving in Vegas due to, in quotes, Dave Borges.
The roller coaster.
He said, "Let's just say the room's previous occupants seemingly enjoyed Vegas a little too much. No tigers or roosters running around the rooms, but apparently it looked like the boys from The Hangover had been there the night before."
Oh,
so
Jesus.
UConn's in a new hotel tonight.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Jeez. Add it to the storybook. Fuck it.
Is it that much worse than like Woo Hall?
Yeah.
Is it that much worse than Hilltop Apartments
be.
Where
yeah,
they're
right.
living anyways?
Woo Hall. Shout out Lee Woo.
Woo Hall. It can't be that much worse.
Honestly, it's so stupid. I think one of my favorite parts about this is just we're finally getting some real national attention again. You got this whole week to kind of soak it up, listen to all the talking heads, and granted, you know, most of them don't really know anything, but it just feels good to be back in the news cycle a little bit at this time of year.
It does, Matt, but it's kind of a double-edged sword. And that's what I was kind of getting at before is, you know, Hurley goes on First Take this morning, right, with
Molly, Stephen
with
A.
Molly,
Also, I didn't
Danny
know
O,
that.
And Mad Dog.
I didn't know that Mad Dog's son has a GA on the team.
Yes, he is a GA on the team. And Mad Dog was showing up to a bunch of the games at XL throughout the year.
You know what I don't like?
That's
I don't
three
like
and a
the
half
mid-game
skis
interviews.
On the TV.
I don't like mid-game interviews.
I agree.
It's funny you say that, Justin. First of all, that and the amount of commercials, right? The game flow is completely fucked because there's just 10 times more commercials.
Dude, and they're talking about putting in another TV timeout next year.
I don't even know where you fit
like,
that.
Like, we're just going to be watching TV. It's not you're not going to be watching the game anymore. You're just going to be watching TV.
We were watching the game on Sunday night. And
the end of that game
point,
took like 30 minutes. Like, the last 5 minutes of
They literally
like
came back from a TV timeout, play, timeout, commercials again. It's kind of hard. But yes,
although,
Justin, to your point, though, on the in-game interviews, we were kind of monitoring them like throughout the first two games because we were like, this is insane. Like, these are key parts of the game. Like, every part of the game is key, and you're just taking the coach away, and you got Kamani in the background. Like, but when you – I think when you, like, look at it and what they do to the other coach as well, like, it affects both coaches.
Yeah.
Game. It kind of zeroes out at the end of it.
I mean, it's not an XFL football game. We don't need more content during the game. They're just like, let him fucking chill and coach the game.
Yeah, but that's
feels
not
really good.
It's about
feels really good to be back.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. We're back here, right on the precipice, and anything can happen here, man. We've seen the craziest stuff happen in this tournament, and that's really the most exciting piece. I think the last thing I really want to say is that I just really hate these Arkansas fans, man. They're just stupid. They're really not smart. A bunch of dudes who look like, you know, they go to NASCAR races every weekend with big beards and about 200 pounds overweight. And I was thinking, I really wish that, you know, this was like Premier League football or something where we could just show up in a field before the game with all the hooligans and just beat the shit out of each
I
other.
think I'm glad it's not, because I think we would get our
Yeah, me
ass
too.
absolutely handed to us.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
I forget who shouted it out originally, like right after we won, but somebody was like, UConn Twitter is just not ready for Arkansas Twitter. Like, these guys are savages. And we found out. We fucked around and found out.
They love
Dude,
college baseball.
this has been an insane college basketball Twitter week between Cooley's house
I
being
think
posted,
the
the
best
rumors
ever.
about
Yeah,
Cooley's
Rothstein
having an
just outing him.
affair. Yeah, like
Pacino.
this is Patino already naming Soriano a captain, even though Soriano came out and said he wouldn't play for anyone but Mike Anderson.
Yeah,
And
Cooley's recruit
Patino
telling the
like an
rest of
hour
the team
later.
can kick rocks. He told them like most
Yeah.
kids are not going to be
Patino
here.
saying everyone's going to be gone because he doesn't like them. Like, holy crap,
Lou
dude.
Carnesecca on TV looking like a fucking wax mannequin.
Dude, back to Maddie. We
Yeah.
gotta let the
He looked
listeners.
like Tony Bennett.
It did look like Tony Bennett.
I love Tony Bennett.
Not the
Fuck. What
basketball coach.
was I gonna say? I was gonna say something else. But Maddie, we gotta shout out the Arkansas fan that posted Exit 68
Yeah, we do. That was
podcast content.
some deep digging by that
Deep
guy,
digging
pulling
by
a
the
clip
Arkansas guy.
of Matt earlier in the year talking about the physicality he saw in the Arkansas Kentucky game and how it just looks like it's on a different level.
Oh, you
At
know what I
least he
was?
listened.
So,
Yeah.
Justin, you say that we're due for a caravan game. You know
Yeah.
what we're really due for?
A Joey C game.
Probably
A
like a
game.
Diarra.
No, buzzer beater
Dude,
game-winning shot in the postseason.
we.
I
I
don't know
don't
if I can
want
handle
that,
that.
first of
Last
all.
one was Jalen. That wasn't even in the tournament. We don't hit those shots in big spots, especially not under Hurley. I think we're due.
Dude, you know who? Yeah. I don't
Saturday,
know.
UCLA, 77,
That
78, Hawkins.
UCLA game is going to be UCLA Gonzaga tomorrow night is going to be an absolute slugfest. That's going to be a sick game.
Gonna be awesome.
I mean,
A lot of talent on
the
the floor.
16 teams left are awesome. Like every matchup is intriguing, I think. Like even the FAU Tennessee game, like people are boo-hooing at that one. It's the first game tomorrow night. FAU's three positions lower than Tennessee is in KenPom. Like they're really good,
Yeah,
or
they're really
than
good.
Arkansas is. Like they're just as good. I mean, how about the tournament starting with that Furman game? Like
Pretty
incredible.
awesome,
It
dude. Princeton's
just
still in it.
delivers. It just delivers every single year. Like the tournament delivers every single
Every
year.
year, I agree. And the thing is, we focus on the upsets, but the like, dude, Friday, you got Michigan State, Kansas State. Like, that's gonna be a hell of a game.
It's a
Kansas
sick
State has
game,
been nasty, and then Michigan State's just doing what Michigan State typically does. Like,
yeah.
the Princeton thing
Who's
was a
the
go ahead, Justin.
favorite left? Houston, because they're the one.
Texas,
UConn Huskies,
or no,
You
Bama,
think
all day,
Texas?
Bama.
Yeah, I mean,
Brandon Miller is
Bama.
out of his mind.
It's probably Bama. They really don't have a whole
It's
lot of
funny though, isn't it
pieces.
funny though? Like we're like, oh, it's Bama. But if we got to a championship game against Bama, all of us would be like, oh, we already beat them once. Like
Yeah.
we're golden.
I watched that game like twice this week. There were a lot of good things that happened for us in the first half of that game. They had like seven turnovers like 3 minutes in. Then we went on like this the craziest run you'll ever see in your life. We couldn't miss a three. Unbelievable game. And then
So,
you have Bill Walton just commenting the whole time behind it
yeah,
on the
you,
highlights.
dude, Sanogo. There's a lot of talk today about Sanogo, and just I guess over the last few days, and we've talked about him, but people are like,
Taking notice.
he could, yeah, like someone made the comment today, he might be one of the best Huskies ever, and like I would go as far at this point to say he's a top five big man that's ever been at UConn.
I was just going to say the same exact thing. I'm with you, man.
Like
I've never seen someone.
Emeka's probably number one, right? Emeka's number one just because he won a national championship, and you could argue Thabit or Danielle or Cliff Robinson's number two, right? One of those guys.
Yeah, I was going to say Cliff.
But like Sanogo's probably in that Sonogo's probably in the top five.
Amita Brima.
Yeah. No, Sonogo's firmly up there. It's tough. It's like the best Husky
ever.
He had the
most
ever,
points
like,
in UConn history in one
best
game.
Skill.
Dude, Amita Brima did do that. But Sonogo in that, it almost looked like at the halftime of the Iona game, we were all in panic. Like, no one was talking to any of the group chats. And I would love to know what
Freaking
Hurley said. He must
out.
have
Did
just walked
you?
in, looked them in the eyes and said, "You guys know who you are, right?"
Justin,
Because
did you
Sonogo
hear
came
the.
out and he was like, he was just a different man.
Did you hear the recap? Someone talked about what he said. I think it might have been Tom Moore. They said it was Tom, Kamani, and Luke in the team, and they said they're all kind of freaking out in the locker room. Like, the energy was like not that calm. And they said Hurley just walked in, and I think Tom Moore described it as masterful. He said he walked in super calm to start talking about, you know, some mismatches they're going to work, what they're going to do, start drawing up a couple of plays. And he said it put the whole team at ease. But that halftime, he said the energy in the locker room was like, it was like him, Kamani, and Luke Murray, like sweating, like trying to talk to the team. And then Hurley came in and calmed everyone down, which he did say is growth because, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, Hurley might have came
You
in
would have
and
came in
started
and
breaking
freaked
shit.
out.
Dude, they were trying not to lose the game so bad in the
Oh
first
my
half of that
God.
Iona game.
They were fine. That's just jitters, right? Like that first half, I had no problem with.
Yeah, I
And they
bet you
proved.
did at halftime of that game.
I didn't. I can
Oh,
confidently say that. And I said that to
I
some
was
other
not doing
people.
well. I was
I
not
said
doing
to
well.
other people, I was like, listen, this plenty of teams. And because we played on Friday, right? Plenty of teams that Thursday did the same thing. Good teams, right? Some
Yeah,
teams
that
did it with
Thursday was
heart.
crazy, dude. Houston won how many? Houston won by what, like three? Every team was in a dogfight. Tennessee
Houston
was in a
won by
dogfight.
10, but they were close with Northern Kentucky for most of that game.
There's also a
Yeah, even all those
conspiracy. Oh,
ones,
sorry.
The
Well,
ones.
Mace, back
I
to
was
your
gonna
point
say
about
the.
Sonogo, you know who did tweet about him? Best big to ever live. Shock.
Yeah,
Barbecue chicken.
barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken. Sorry, that was just a thought that came
That's
to
high
mind.
praise, dude. That's high praise. And how about his interview? We didn't talk about this yet. How about his interview after the game? Like, I know
Unbelievable.
everyone, dude, he's a guy who doesn't get a lot of face time, like press time too, because again, like he doesn't, you don't hear interviews with him because he barely speaks English. He does
English.
not speak very good English. I'm pretty sure he speaks four other languages though.
Yeah,
So
he speaks a
it's
bunch of
not
languages, which
because
is
he's not an
impressive.
intellectual by any means, but that whole, you could just see he was so giddy. He was talking about his teammates and how good everyone is. And someone made the comment on Twitter, about his humility and how he was bending down, and maybe it was to hear, but he was bending down to get closer to the interview. So he was like face to face with the interviewer, which I was like, it's kind of just like a subtle thing, but it almost speaks to who he is, just like an incredibly humble, hardworking kid. And all the praise and all the focus and all the attention he's getting is so deserved, especially during the middle of the year where people were like ready to call for his head.
It gives me like, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it does give me chills thinking about this team kind of taking it all the way and getting that face time and how good of kids they are. And like Sonogo becoming a darling of the tournament forever, right?
Yeah.
Even though he's going to go to Europe and
Fuck.
play and have a great career. Hawkins being on his way out and just getting to go out with that. You know, that stamp of a championship. Andre Jackson getting the kudos that everybody wants to give him. Like, it's just awesome to think about what would happen if you saw the confetti come down and these kids who are such good people and do just deal with so much
Donovan
bullshit.
Klingon, freshman, best
Klingon
Olympic kid.
freshman. Like, it's so hard not to think about it. And it's such a wonderful feeling when you think about, you know, all those kids getting together because they all love each other so much too.
Dude, and you can't understate for three guys from Connecticut, you can't understate the importance of this team and this university to the state, and just the state's overall mindset in general. Like, no matter where you grew up, you were probably a UConn fan or you're rooting for a UConn fan. Like I was the only one of my friends from home to go to UConn, and it seems like now, like back in the tournament, they're making a run. Everyone, group chat's blowing up during the middle of the game. Like it just means so much to the state, and it means so much to the people within the state, and it means so much to the university to be back in the position they're in with a chance to make a deep run in March. Like it's we don't have anything else in Connecticut, and it just is, it's so big for everyone who grew up there and grew up rooting for the university.
And it's all thanks to Dan fucking Hurley.
It's all thanks to Dan Hurley. And as
Governor Lamont better get out his checkbook this off season, because that man is deserving. If Ed Cooley's getting six, Jesus Christ, our taxes are about to double in Connecticut.
Not a dime back.
Yeah, not a dime back.
As Mike Sweeney said from Sports Illustrated, had a great article today. He goes, "Don't look now, but UConn's kicking it into second gear."
There's nothing better than this, man. Absolutely nothing better. Man, we are so lucky to be right back here where we belong. I cannot wait to watch the game this week tomorrow. Jesus. Yeah. Probably not even going to sleep tonight. Not going to be able to think about anything else. And, you know, we can't do anything from here. We just got to show up to our TVs and, you know, get ready for a dogfight.
Let the boys play.
Go Huskies. I love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you too.